Okay.
All right. Nice to officially meet you.
Yeah, you too. My goodness. I mean, I have never gotten an invitation to like this, but when I tell you that I've listened to a couple of podcasts and I can't remember, don't ask me, but I think like of like just Phil Am podcasts, I'm trying to like get my phone situated, right? And they had like Lenny Strobel on this one I was listening to, and I was just like so baby and new to like being Filipino that I just like was like just, I don't know, sad about it. So it's just funny like thinking just like a year and a half ago and now, yeah, just how far I've come and like my own process to like unassimilate. It's just crazy. Anyway.
No, that's good to hear, because myself and a lot of my friends, you know, we're full Filipino. It doesn't make a difference. We still like we're assimilated to American culture. And I think growing up as full Filipino, like my parents are always like, oh, be proud to be Filipino. And like the thoughts I had, like while I was kind of assimilated and colonized, like that seemed normal to me. Like that's what I thought being Filipino was. And so actually when I came to college, I joined the Filipino club and I was like, oh I didn't know any of this. And even that club itself is still kind of trying to unlearn certain ways. And it's really just like a lot of like people trying to come together. And
that's how it is though. And I think like one of the first things I've been lucky enough to be in relationship with a whole bunch of other Pinoys like all over the world. And because TikTok really was this huge healing opportunity for me, because I'm a stay-at-home parent right now, like and then the pandemic hit and it was just really hard, but I connected with a couple of people and they were like, don't you know it's the most Filipino thing to like question yourself constantly and like not know who you are? And I was just like, oh my god. All right, well I'm there. And I have like a Bisayan friend who's like, Morgan, I'm from the islands and I have these identity issues. And I'm just like, okay. Like that's truly what being Filipino is. I feel like it's just feeling invisible and like you don't, and the Filipino card is so flimsy and it gets taken and given. And your parents sound like, you know, I wasn't allowed to be Filipino, obviously, like growing up, but that's the same kind of mentality I feel like my Filipino dad had, where he was just like, be proud of who you are. But then like he never modeled that at all. Mm-hmm. Like he was like, be proud of who you are, but I will never admit that I'm a Filipino man, like, you know. So you know, it was just, we get a lot of mixed messages, I think, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just gonna do my little intro real quick. This is my first time doing a podcast, and you're actually gonna be my first episode, so
I'm so honored.
So welcome, friends and families, and those across the seas. My name is Megan. I'm a second-generation Filipino-American. So if you don't know what that means, it means that I was born here in America, but I am a child to Filipino immigrants. So you're listening to my podcast called the Phil-Am Diaspora, which is where we express just our thoughts and our feelings about culture and assimilation. Today, I'm going to be here with Morgan. And so I actually only just started talking to Morgan because I saw her TikTok a few days ago. It was the one where I think you stitched it or you duetted or whatever. And it was like Filipinos that consider themselves Asian and they're like kind of sad. And then Filipinos that consider themselves Hispanic. And I actually haven't seen that original TikTok. So it was interesting when it showed up on my profile on my For You page. And so I just kind of wanted to start off like officially from there and like go from there. Like, what do you think about that when you see other people like kind of trying to identify with different cultures and say that that is Filipino? Sorry, big question to start.
Yeah, it's a great question. Thank you, by the way, for inviting me into your space in this way. I feel like a dinosaur. So I'm in my 30s and I'm just really starting to wrap my brain around my own identities. So it's a lot. Before we get started, I just want to properly introduce myself. I'm Pinoy, and I on my father's side, my Lola is from Masbate. And then I also am very proud of my German heritage on my mom's side as well. That's where my family comes from. Family name, Rosales and Alan Dugan. And I have some family stateside, but I have a lot of family in Masbate and in Manila as well. So now getting the protocol out of the way, I saw that the original creator of that video took it down, and it made me really sad. And I could only imagine why. I think he got a lot of Pinoy hate, because the truth hurts, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we often want to identify with our colonizers, with the US and with Spain. And I think that's a very tenuous place to sit and a very valid place to sit. And I think that there's a healing opportunity there if we sit there long enough. But often what happens is we have Filipinos who are like, that's the colonizer way of thinking, and that's wrong, and we have to decolonize. And then you have Filipinos who are like, whatever, you guys are trying to erase our history. This is 300 plus years of being colonized. Like, we wouldn't have banana ketchup without this, like all this stuff. They get really emotional, and it's valid. And I think really points to how passionate of a people that we are, even though we are hundreds of different ethno-linguistic groups, like shoved mm-hmm. under one national identity. We are such passionate people. We care so much with our colonizers. It's valid to do that, because we literally, everything that we knew to be true about ourselves, our ancestors, everything our ancestors knew to be true was cut out and erased and ripped to shreds. And our names were taken, and we had to choose from a book. We had to pick names. And even today, like, the Filipino protocol is like, who are you? Who's your mom? Who's your dad? Where are you from? What's your last name? Because even though those last names are largely Hispanic, they tell you at least the islands that you come from.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah. Like, the last thing I heard was, like, sometimes we only know so much as our last names, but at least our last names tell us which island we come from. And that's just really right. Resonating. The last thing I said was props to you.
Yeah.
For discovering.
First one being interrupted.
Yeah. I know, like, it's different learning your heritage at, how old did you say? 30, I think. But I think in some way,
I'm 34.
That's okay. In some way, I feel like it gives you a different perspective because you're a bit more mature. I know I'm still struggling. I'm still like trying to learn all the words, like trying to be respectful, and it's just like, and I feel like I'm 21. I'm like very impressionable, and just growing up, it's like I keep hearing different opinions. It's like, as my senior project, I just really wanted to finally like learn for myself and like do my own research. So
yeah. That's incredible, and I really celebrate you and like all Filipino youth, like all over that are through your real.
But the last thing I heard you say was about the youth.
Oh, yes. What was I talking about? It reminds me of, I saw, I'm all about that intergenerational healing. Like, that's what we're talking about, is healing generations worth of like patterns and programs and trauma. Mm-hmm. And I saw this reminder probably from a creator on TikTok that was like, we're working on things that our grandparents and great grandparents couldn't work on. Mm. And because they were in survival. And so like I made a TikTok the other day because I was feeling extra emotional. I needed to get it out. Just like me grieving the fact that like my dad can't go on this journey with me, but I know that I can do this, and I can like you know, carry the baton and like do the work for my family because my Lola came here and because she did what she had to do to keep my father safe and he did what he had to do to keep me safe. And for a lot of people with like many bloodlines like myself, that means hiding your ancestors in other bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often some on my page will talk about how I look how I do for a reason, that my Lola hit me. And I think that that's something that a lot of Filipinos of multiple ancestry and heritage really feel, that, you know, our parents and our grandparents who often were OFW or who married non-Filipino to escape or get out or have better opportunity, they did so that we could do this healing work in this generation. So bringing it back to what you were saying, like I celebrate when I see Filipino youth doing this because this is what the ancestors are asking of us, really, mm-hmm. is to just feel these things and talk about these things. And I love that, you know, you're at a place in your life where you're really like trying to figure out like what you think about stuff. And now, and I've got like 13 years on you, and it's just like, but same, just in a different realm. Like,
yes.
It constantly, yeah, it circles on itself. It circles constantly. And I think if we are being true to ourselves, we can continue to ride that circle as it keeps going over and over and over again. That's the way I like to think about it. So you're getting started so much younger, and I love it.
It's crazy that you say that, because even though like I am younger, I really do feel I wish that I started learning about my heritage at an earlier age. I wish that I learned my language more.
Oh no.
Like, I understand it. I understand when people talk to me, but I just don't feel the confidence to speak back. And it's crazy because, you know, you go to Philippines, or I don't know if you've been to Philippines, but people talk about going to Philippines, and like sometimes they tell you, oh, don't speak English or don't talk because they'll know that you're foreign. They'll know that you're not from here. And it's like my mom said at one point, like, oh, let me do the talking because they might scam you out of money. And I was like, right. Maybe 10 years old. I don't even have a concept of money yet. So
right. Yeah. I know. I had the same, like, I, you know, growing up, I asked a lot of questions and they never really got answered, or I never got to really know my Lola. Like, I met her one time and she died shortly after that, but I mm-hmm. feel like this presence my whole life, this huge, huge ass presence from her. And I say a lot, not shy about the relationship I have with her now is way better now that she's in the unseen realm. You know what I mean?
No, but, yeah, I get that. There's something about
my dad did the same thing. Oh, we are. I mean, it's, I think the Anito, like we understand that. I mean, that's the indigenous way. Like everything is connected. There's no such thing as, you know, spirituality is not separate from physical reality for us at all. And so, but it is funny because I will talk about my Lola saying such and such, and people think she's still alive. And I'm like, oh no, she's not here anymore. Like in this realm, but, I don't remember. Oh, but I was going to tell you, like my dad, I would talk about wanting to go to the Philippines. He hasn't even been. I have not been. He hasn't been. And I talk about wanting to go when I was a kid. And I did a TikTok about this too a while back. And he told me it's not safe for you there because you look too white. Mm. You would not be safe. And as you can imagine, it blew up. And like Filipino TikTok was just like, like all over the place with it. But yeah, it's real. And you get there. I feel the nerves every time I talk to a Gabayan, like about just how scary the idea of going to the motherland is because of how judgmental we can be.
Yeah. So, I feel like that's something that has not changed, like the judgment, but part of me also wonders, like, if that judgment was because of the assimilation and because we were colonized, or if we've always been like that. But that's a topic for another time.
Point. But, that really is. Yeah. Like, God, that is a whole other talk. You're right. I don't even want to touch it because that's a whole other talk.
It is. Yeah. I could go on about this forever, just because there's just so much to learn. And it's like, this isn't a topic you talk about at the kitchen table.
No, it's unfortunately not.
Yeah, which that should really change, and that's what I'm hoping this podcast does. Because my parents themselves, like I'll be watching a teleserye with them, and something will come up, and I'll be like, "Is it really like that in the Philippines?" And they'll be like, they'll kind of brush it off, or like they'll hint at it. They're opening up a little bit more now, I can say, but there's just something about Filipinos and not being able to communicate their thoughts and emotions. I don't know if that's the same for you or from what you've experienced, but
yeah. Oh, I mean, absolutely. Like, it's so funny, like, even having a father who is so assimilated to the point where it just wasn't talked. The only time Filipino-ness was brought up in our house was in like gross ways, like if it was like exotified, or it was just generally like a throwaway comment. Like, my dad it was just not a topic that we discussed in any kind of respectful or like meaningful way. But I sure got all the toxic Filipino shit in my house somehow that managed to just transfer through, like, not talking about things or being really like just judgmental and hurtful, but then acting like it just wasn't a thing. Like, you know, appearances being picked apart and just all kinds of stuff. Like, my mom is very much a German American woman. Like, and so I think that she and my dad just like, she has, because she wasn't, I mean, she was definitely a little more assimilated into Americanness than my dad, obviously. And she has a different experience in the world than my dad does, because she's not a brown woman, but she still like has that Nanai energy. So I guess he just was like comfortable with that. But anyway, I'm all that to say, like, yeah, we had that too. What are you talking about? Emotional abuse? Yeah, we had that. Unfortunately. But that's kind of, there was some, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, because I'm sure it has something to do with like their trauma, and like, because they got up and left their country, their home, and like, they're doing this for us. And it's really not something you understand until you're older. Cause I definitely didn't understand it until I was living on my own, and I only moved an hour away. But I'm lucky to have my mom being able to understand it a bit more. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but a lot of colleges in California, a lot of the Filipino clubs hold a PCN, which is Filipino Cultural Night. And for my school, they do a play based on the culture, what they learn, and just kind of like what the hot topic is. And then in between like scene changes, there's different dances and different cultures of the Philippines that are displayed. But the last PCN I went to, they talked about depression and mental health issues and how important it is to open up and how hard it can be for immigrants to accept that. And I think that was really the turning point for my parents. But I bring that up because that's also something that's like, yeah, we learned about different nations, or not different nations, different cultures and identities of the Philippines through there, but in the end of that, we only learned like three identities. I think we learned Bisaya, Mindanao, and I forgot what the other one was,
Luzon.
Yes, Luzon. Yeah. And so it's crazy to think about how much we've erased and how much we've kind of just combined into one umbrella term, because I think you also brought it up earlier, how it's like, we've all just kind of mixed into one place. And there's just, there's so much to unpack there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole, that's a whole other talk.
But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could do this podcast until you're, you know, 90. I hope you realize. I hope you do this podcast until then.
I hope I do too.
We need
I'm sure there'd be so much to talk about.
Oh my God. So much. Like, but yeah, I think I wonder if a lot of that is because we've moved around so much. And you know, there's also kind of an element I think that we forget about when you're from a place that has been so heavily colonized, because we really have been really annihilated. And that's the scandal of it. Like, for instance, you know, I'm trying to think like how much I should say my own family stuff. But I mean, there's just, sometimes you have family members that have extramarital relationships. And so that family and those children have to move to the Visayas because maybe the family is based in Luzon, or maybe, you know, or maybe you have a situation where you have a Tagalog falling in love with an Ilocano. And like, that's maybe something that's needs to be kept secret for some, you know, like there's just, there's a lot of like, excuse me,
yes.
Like we're moving, like, you know, family members that you didn't know you had, family names. I'm just telling you, I'm uncracking a lot of stuff that wasn't said in my family. And a lot of these stories are just not mine to know, right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting to me what I feel like my Lola is sharing with me that's important to her. And, you know, and it just goes back to just listening. I just feel like there's so much history that we just aren't privy to because of that survival mode and moving around islands and things like that. Like, it's a lot, but yeah, the one national identity, I love us so much because we've just never been good at, like, how can you two take hundreds of different clans and you tell them that they're one people? And and then during Marcos's regime is when Tagalog became the national language and Spanish stopped being taught in schools. So then you're like, I know, like, why in the world? Like, so not only do you have that, but then you have, I don't know if you've met a Bisayan who's just, because I'm Bisaya, but like, who's very serious about me. Oh, hey, yes, exactly. Okay, so I didn't even ask you. Now you have to tell me what islands your family is from. Thank you. But yeah, you get that, like, that energy of like, I'm not Tagalog. Like, I'm not a Luzon. Yeah. I'm Visaya, like, and you can't speak Tagalog in the Visayas, like, I'm told. Like, they would rather you speak English there. So it's just, there's so many layers. Okay, but you have to tell me now your family.
my mom is from Caliboa clan, and I believe my dad is from Banga'a clan. I think their provinces are right next to each other, so...
Where are those clans currently situated in the Visayas? Do you know, like,
I'd have to look it up. I've always known it to be Banga.
You've known the clans.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And, that's so amazing.
But it's about, I think, like, an hour from Boracay. Well, of course, like, with Bo. But fairly close to there. I know Calibo is where the airport is. So that's as far as I know.
So Cebu, like the airport in Cebu?
I don't think it's in Cebu. I'm not entirely sure.
This is a fun conversation because neither of us, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I know the, just like the surface level. And that's it. But
yeah. Okay. Well, after this call, you'll have to like write that down because I want to look into that.
I'll try
it's
to
important to me. Yeah, I just every time, every Filipino I meet, I'm just like, where? I just need to know, like, what are your family names? What islands do you come from? It really, like, because I'm starting to notice, like, we act differently. Like, I'm obviously, because we're not the same, but there's just a really big difference between someone who's Tagalog or Ibanag or Ilocano, or, you know, even my family island, like, we have our own language. Like, Masbateño is the language of the island, and that's all my family, like, my family speaks Tagalog, but not the best. And so it's fun when I try to communicate to them, because I have to have help.
Yeah,
their English isn't good either, and I obviously, my Tagalog is terrible. And but anyway, yeah, the islands, they tell us a little bit more about ourselves, and I'm just starting to piece together who we all are as, like, again, like, hundreds of different cultures, and it's a lot. But
yeah, it's funny though, because when you see somebody who's Filipino, they may not look like you, they may not act like you, but sometimes something in you just says, like, you're Filipino, I know you're Filipino. Yep. And I don't know if you've done this, or if you've gotten this, was like, there's that smile that you give them, and it's like, oh yes, you're Filipino. And then no matter, like, what different islands we're from, like, we can always recognize that. My mom always did that growing up, and as we're getting to know the person, I was like, oh, she's Ilocano. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, what's wrong with that? But I think it's also different from my mom's perspective, because growing up in the Philippines, she not necessarily moved a lot, but she had a lot of brothers and sisters that went to different universities. So she always visited them at the different universities and, like, lived with them for some time. So she kind of, like, knows these different like, little traditions or little quirks about each culture. And I really wish I took the time to ask her more about it.
Yeah. You have so much time. Like, you're gonna get, like, when I tell you that 2 years ago I wasn't even saying I was Filipino, like, you're gonna be okay. Almost, like, because to answer your question, so where I grew up, there were no Filipinos. I was really lucky to know one. There was this girl in my school growing up, and I gravitated towards her because she was Chinese Filipino, and her mom was Pinay and her dad was Chinese. And I spent a lot of time at her house, and her mom kind of was like a honorary tita for a while for me. And but that was it. That was my whole life. Like, she was it. And we weren't friends for forever, because, you know, high school is like high school. And so I didn't know, but, like, now more Filipinos are moving here. And we have a Filipino Mart, and that's new in the last, like, couple of years. Like, before the pandemic, I think, is when Filipino Mart opened up. Because, you know, we don't have Seafood City, we don't have Filipino restaurants. So all this is new. Like, it's so crazy. And so, but now this thing is happening where, like, I'm, like, you know, uncovering more of myself. And I'm getting to know us, and I'll be out in the world and I'll see a Filipino and I'll be like, pfft, pfft, don't. I know you are. And I get to, like, I went bra shopping, like, months ago, and I was masked, and one of the salespeople, they were masked, and I was asking about bra sizes, and I was being loud and making jokes and shit. And she was just like, right there with me, and it was just like, we were laughing and joking and being so loud, and I looked at her and I was just like, oh, you're Pinay, I just know you are. But I didn't have the guts to, like, say it, but I knew she was, like, I knew she was, based on how she was joking. And I mean, we were basically hitting each other, like, so yeah. It happens.
It's a crazy experience, because, like, you talk to them, it's like you know them forever. Like, you even said, like, you didn't like really say it, but you still had that connection. I used to be a server, and I would get like the occasional, like, Filipino couple every now and then, or like just like a customer who is Filipino, and I would know they were, and I would connect with them on a different level, but I would be kind of really hesitant to say, like, oh, you're Filipino, I'm Filipino, because I guess part of me was like, I can't prove that I'm Filipino because I don't understand Tagalog, or, like, I don't I won't be able to speak it to you. And it's like, if you try to speak it to me, like, I'll only be able to understand half of what you're saying. So.
Yeah, I know. And isn't that so painful? Like,
Yeah. It's like, I really wish.
It hurts so bad.
Like, I wish my parents taught me at the least Tagalog. But that brings up this question that I've had for since I started this project, which is why did a whole generation decide that our culture wasn't enough or worthy enough to fight for to keep going?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there's a long answer to that, right? Mm-hmm. That is, again, like a whole talk.
There's so many different answers.
Yeah, but I think like the short one is that we consistently, over a period of hundreds and hundreds of years, were taught that it's not safe to be who we are. And so we internalized it, because that's what you have to do to survive. You just internalize the abuse, and it becomes, when you're hated so much, you start to hate yourself. And I think there's this disconnect that I see where, like, out of one side of our mouths, we can say this, but out of the other, we can't connect. Like, you know, trauma actually alters the brain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some neuroplasticity that has to regrow. And that's why I really think this healing that we're talking about, and this like revival of coming home to ourselves and like our people, is going to take generations, because I really think, like, at least in my family, that neuroplasticity was just gone. Like, you know, my Lola lived during Japanese occupation, and she married not the best guy. She jumps out of the frying pan into the fire, and you know, it's so. And I know that story is very common, unfortunately. So, with our people, so. That's the short answer, is just trauma. I mean, we consistently saw, anytime we lived as ourselves and we existed boldly, and you know, we were cut down or we were murdered. And a lot of times our own did it to us. Mm-hmm. Because of that safety. I mean, so we're just talking about like survival. We're in survival, and I don't think that it's talked about enough how much in survival we've been. And now you have this whole generation of Filipinos like all over the world that are like grappling with these big questions, because see, like my parents, were like my dad, my Lola, my Lola's siblings, like they couldn't ask these questions. They were busy trying to like feed themselves and feed their families. And I know not all Filipinos are, obviously some are well off more than others, but yeah, that's the short answer. Trauma.
It's crazy to talk about trauma, because like thinking about it, it's like, I don't really know much about Filipino history. I only know is that there was the indigenous people, and then there is Spain, and then there's Japan and US. I don't know the exact order, but I know like that's what happened. And it's like, it's weird to think about, because like I don't know the time frames. Like it's one of those, for me, it's one of those things where it's like it happened like years ago. Like I don't even know. But then for all I know, it could have been like when my mom was born, because my mom had me when she was 50 years old, so she'd had some time on her hands. But it's like she has so much knowledge and she has so much to say, but I can tell I think somehow somewhere when she's growing up, she's just been silenced. And it's one of those things where you said like we're in survival mode. It's like, I don't think our parents even realize that they're in survival mode, even though they've already survived. And I feel like, like, I feel like my mom's like doing the best she can, and she has the life that she wanted, but she's sometimes, I can still see she's in survival mode. And sometimes I feel like I grew up in survival mode, even though I didn't grow up the way she did. So,
no, I think you're right. 100%. You're right. You did. We did. I did. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard to say that. I know it's hard to say that when you think about, there's just this like guilt and shame and expectation, especially being in like America, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Sorry, it's just so heavy, but no, you're right. But you know, for me, having my child who's like 3 and a half, like, I think looking at her and thinking about what she's going to have to carry if I don't get the fuck to work was what really like turned on a whole bunch of lights for me with regards to that. But I mean, I think that there's a danger that comes with comparison. And oh my God, not to get on a soapbox or anything, but if you want to talk about like the ways that colonialism and genocide just like perpetuate themselves, like comparison is, at least in my understanding, it feels a lot like internalized capitalism, right?
Yeah.
Because in capitalism, you have this hierarchy, you have people down here at the bottom of the ladder feeding the people at the top of the ladder. You know, Filipinos, we talk about crabs in a bucket all the time, crab mentality. But like, who put us in a bucket? You know what I mean?
Because exactly.
That's not the natural, it's not the natural habitat of a crab. Like, you know, so yeah, I mean, so anytime comparison slips into my head and I start sitting in shame about like comparing my life to my dad's or whatever, I can't fucking do that. And it's counterproductive. And so at the end of the day, I'm like, is this productive? No, it's not. Then it's just rooted in white supremacy. The end, like, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where, but what you're talking about is so real, because like, let's just bring it back home. Like, we are such a, I don't even know what the word is, but we're a clan people. Like we need each other. We feel each other. Like we know when we're around, we have the radar, like we know that. And so I think like that gets discounted too. That like we really feel each other. And so then I feel like the Filipino dilemma always is like, how do I do the work that I need to do for me and for my family line? And then also hold this space and softness for family that might be in the mainland or family that might have it like quote worse than I do, when it's really just different. It all is just different.
Yes.
And I think that like the more that we heal and stay in that productivity, right? That like, is this productive? Is it unproductive? That's how we create more space to hold like all of us, really. Because when I first started creating content, I didn't know what that guy was doing, like, you know, this child's app. And you know, I really love like the people I've met on there, but I just noticed so much like rage from mainlanders or first genners. Like I was talking about Filipinx, you know, that controversial word. And you know, and I was like, so like, what the fuck, y'all? Like, this is just my experience. But I found that like the more that I was able to like, I don't know, like do my own work, I could actually hear their anger, and I could like hear that what they like through their anger, they wanted to be seen, they wanted to be heard, they wanted that connection. And I said this too in a recent video. And but this stuff is like, it's in my head every day, all the time. But I was like, I really feel like it's the islands screaming to us, because we're so far, we're all over the fucking world, you know, we're so far away. Yeah. And so I think sometimes she just screams through the people that are there whenever there's any kind. And TikTok was such a huge platform to connect globally for the first time, because like Instagram's never been able to do that. Like Twitter, yeah, but let's get real. I mean, making a video is a lot easier than, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I just, I feel like Filipinos too, like we're such a, we're so like fucking performative and we're storytellers and like all these things that it just was the perfect app. That's my theory anyway. Like, so yeah, it was pretty intense though. I was like, what? Okay. All right. Let me just dial it back and figure out how to connect with y'all, because I don't know. This is, it was a lot.
Well, yeah, I feel like we talked a lot and there's still so much to talk about. I would really love to sit here and just talk for hours on end, but it is my final week. Yeah, it is what we do. I know, we were just talking about, it's like, oh, 15 minutes, quote unquote. I'm pretty sure this recording is probably at least 30 minutes. But
oh, for sure.
But it's anyways, all good
though. We can do this again. Yeah.
Yes, I would love to. Anytime. Yeah. I'm so glad to have you as my first episode. Thank you so much for agreeing to this. I really hope we can do this again once I get the ball rolling more. But yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
Thank you for chatting with me. I hope you were able to get stuff off of your chest. And I hope you were able to get like another perspective on things that I know I did. And I really appreciate that a lot.
Thank you for this space. And thank you for asking these questions. And absolutely, this was a healing opportunity. It always is when we come together like this and have these conversations. I hope that you got enough for your podcast.
Thank you.
Our issues. But you just let me know if you need anything. I'm like here. My DMs are open. And huge love to you, Kabayan. And I'm just so grateful. That's it. The end.
Thank you. Thank you. Salamat. Oh, I appreciate it so much.
Oh, salamat kayo. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.